Numbers chapter 21, verses 32 to 35. Og, king of Bashan. In the previous discourse, I had a few words on Sihon, king of the Amorites. Now these verses deal with Og, king of Bashan. And as I hinted in the previous discourse, these two, Sihon and Og, come together as a kind of repeated chorus throughout the history of the Hebrews. Again and again in the Word of God, again and again in crucial times in the history of Israel, in the repetition of the rehearsal of the accounts of things, and Jephthah uses it and so on, it comes again and again, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. You can hear the Israelites. You can feel for them. Here they have. They've traveled through the wilderness. They've had peril after peril. God has brought them through. Now they've just defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, and they settle. We read in verse 32, after Moses sent spies to Jazer, the Israelites captured its surrounding settlements and drove out the Amorites who were there. So they're beginning to conquer the land, and they're going to use this land, even though it's on the east side of the Jordan. We shall come to that. And then what? Then they turned and went up along the road towards Bashan. And Og, king of Bashan, and his whole army marched out to meet them in battle at Edrei. Now, who is this Og? Well, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 5 and 11 and so on, you will find that this is a formidable force. This man is huge. His bed is immense. And this is a tremendous opposition. You can hear the Israelites groaning. You can feel for them. I do. Here we are. We've traveled all through this wilderness. We've defeated Sihon. Now, oh, it's Bashan. Not again, not again. Will it never end? The Lord said to Moses, do not be afraid of him. Now, that's not just padding. Moses is afraid. The Israelites are afraid. You can hear it. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can understand it. It's natural. Why not? For, because, there's the argument. We've got to start thinking right here. We've got to get the argument into our minds. I need to get the argument of God's word into my mind, brother and sister. It's not feelings. It's not emotion. We don't live the Christian life, the spiritual life, on feelings. Emotions and feelings come into it, of course. Experience is there, but it's got to be solid, grounded argument from the word of God. God says, don't be afraid, for. Solid ground, solid argument. Isaac Watts in one of his hymns says, my soul longs for solid ground to rest my soul upon. It needs solid ground. Blessed be God in Christ, in the scriptures by his spirit, we have this solid ground. For I have handed him over to you. Note the past tense. That's prophetic perfect. What do you mean? It means that God is promising, but he's promising in the past tense. Remarkable. As though it's already happened. But of course, in God's decree, it has happened. But Israel has to fight. Israel has to face it. Israel has to go through the struggle. That there is the suffering here. There is the loss. There is the difficulty. But nevertheless, the victory is secure. I have handed him over to you with his whole army. And what an army it was. Read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 3 and see. Read verses 5 and 11, for example. Look at the immense bed that this man had. Look at the immense fortifications and army he possessed. But then go to Amos chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 and see how God led the Hebrews from Egypt to take the Amorites. God had purposed this from eternity past, that he was giving the Amorites up to Israel. And so they might say, oh, not again, will it never end? But God is taking them this circuitous route, this difficult route, but he's working his sovereign purpose out. It might not seem like a shunting yard to Israel. What do I mean? You get rid of one wagon, then another one comes. You get rid of that, then another one comes. But this is how it is. This is the life of the believer here. This is the lot of God's elect. This is the way. The nearer they get to Canaan, the more difficult the path. And you read in 2 Timothy 4, for example, let's come into the New Covenant. Let's see what the New Covenant says. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy 4. He's getting near his death. What does he say? I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. It's been a struggle all the way, but I'm going right to the tape. Well, what do we learn here from Og, king of the Bashan people? I have, verse 34. You do it, verse 34. And so, verse 35, Israel did go to battle, and they struck down Og and his people, together with his sons and his whole army, leaving them no survivors, and they took possession of his land. It was unprovoked. They were facing massive odds, but God gave them the victory through it all. Now, I've not finished with these two kings. As I say, they come again and again in the history of the Hebrews, and I want to come back in a further discourse. But here we see, then, God's sovereign purpose for us, brother and sister. Today, things may seem to be going all awry, going astray, running through difficulties. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. I must learn to say that these things work for good to me, for the glory of God, and he has his purpose. Even though I cannot see it, he is working his purpose out. Og, king of Bashan, comes out a mighty man, a mighty force. But God gives Israel the victory, and it's all according to his purpose, to the praise and glory of his name. And so it goes down into the history of the Hebrews, and becomes our history too. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. Remember what God did for the Hebrews with Og, with Sihon and Og, the Amorites and Bashan. Remember and learn the lesson well. These things, 1 Corinthians 10, are written for our learning. Romans 15. May we act upon them, brother and sister. May we get courage from them. May we get strength from them. Whatever the difficulties, may we press on for Christ's sake. Amen.